Hey Artie, it's Indra. I'm just wondering if you left some stuff at my place at any point over the last, I don't know, 5 years. Sorry, this is a weird call out of the blue. It's been a while since we've caught up. Basically, I'm moving next week, finally putting the heartbreak house behind me. I can't believe I kept living here for almost a year, you know? It's got to be bad for the psyche, right? Staying in a home after you've broken up with a person you thought you knew.
Episode 2, September 2003.
You know when people say poetic shit about seeing lurking figures round every corner? It seems like they mean in a park or along a cobbled street in black and white, not like sitting at the kitchen table while you cook eggs. Not barging in on you while you're trying to have a leisurely wee because they don't want to be late for work. Sorry, you don't need to hear all about my miserable breakup. Anyway, I found a few things I don't recognise and I'm calling around everyone I can think of. I don't want to have to move things that aren't mine, you know? It's all enough of a pain already. So there's a cassette of Susie and the Banshees, which I don't even remember the last time I played a cassette. And there's a bag of knitting and obviously a pile of books because there's always a pile of books I can't place. None of that is that important, of course, but there's also a watch that seems quite expensive, so I want to make sure that gets back to the right person. Anyway, I don't know if any of it's yours, but give me a call if it sounds familiar. Thanks. Hi Rach, it's Indra here from Gorgeous Watkins. Orisa's friend? I don't know if you'll remember, it's been ages, but you stayed with me. I think your band was coming through town and the place you were supposed to stay had burst pipes, so Orisa found couches for you all. I hope it's not weird that I got in touch. I'm actually moving house right now and I'm trying to track down the owner of a few things I can't place. There are some cassettes and some knitting supplies and a few books, and also a really nice watch. So yeah, they're probably not yours, it's just a process of elimination. So I guess call me back if you're missing anything like that. Hello, I think I've got the right number. I'm trying to get hold of Beverly. It's Indra here. I'm really hoping you're the person I'm looking for. I know you lived with an ex of mine, Chunwa, for a few months a while ago. Like, a really long time ago. I don't mean to bring up anything about her being an ex. I'm not calling about that. We're good. Or at least I am. I can't speak for Chunwa. I don't even know how to get hold of her anymore. But I found your number on a scratch pad, so that's why I'm calling you. So, the thing is, Chinua had a bunch of stuff at my flat. She picked it all up eventually, but I'm moving house now and I've found some items that I can't place. I don't think they're hers. She would have taken them back, but I wondered if maybe some of your stuff had gotten mixed up here and then she didn't realise it was yours when she was picking her stuff up, you know. I know it seems ridiculous. Really ridiculous. I've already tried nearly everyone I can think of and I don't want to just throw this stuff out. Particularly, well, there's a fancy watch. It has the letters GN engraved onto the back. I'm guessing if those are initials, then the watch isn't yours or Chunwa's. It seems like it must matter to someone. It's a very nice watch. Heavy. There's other stuff too, some music and books and a bag of wool and knitting needles. If you have Chunwa's number, maybe put her in touch with me? So, I'm sorry if this is weird. I just, well, thanks.
Do you love Within the Wires? I hope you do. I hope you do very much. Well, there's a lot more of this show available to you right now if you join our Patreon. We're an independently produced drama, and costs of equipment, recording time, production, artists, travel, they all require listener support. I don't gotta tell you, right? You listen to podcasts, you know the drill. But here's the thing. The Within the Wires Patreon not only has bi-monthly video chats with me, Jeffrey Craner, and my co-writer, Janina Mathewson, but also director's notes of each new episode and behind-the-scenes features in our off-season. Plus, and this is the coolest thing, a Patreon-only Within the Wires series called Black Box, with 4 new episodes each year, released on solstices and equinoxes. Equinoxes? And you can get every single episode ad-free, or If you like the ads, we put those out separately for you as well. And we're adding exclusive ads every 2 months for products that may or may not even exist. Support starts as low as $1 a month, so if you like what we do on this show, please consider helping out financially and get some of that sweet, sweet bonus content. Ooh, content. Bonus contemporary artistic collaborative audio efforts. I don't know, bonus episodes, whatever. We think you'll love it. If nothing else, know that we love you. We love you. And now back to the episode.
Hi, Nan. How are you? I'm sorry to call you and, you know, interrupt your life and whatever. It's not a big deal or anything. I found some stuff and I guess it must be yours. I really thought you'd been a bit more thorough when you moved out. Anyway, the thing is, I'm moving house now. I'm moving cities now, actually. I'm going to Norwich. I got offered a job there, so it's a really exciting opportunity, actually. There's this theatre there, it's called The Chapel. It was a really well-respected company for a while. It dates back to the 50s, one of the first professional theatre companies established after the Great Reckoning. And it's really beautiful as well. They remodelled an old church, so the acoustics are unbelievable. Anyway, they've been losing subscribers for a while. The last few years haven't gone well. The last decade or so hasn't gone well. So they want to try something a bit different and they asked me to come in as artistic director. Well, not quite artistic director. Not quite that important. It's an interim thing, just for a year or two. It should be good, I think. I mean, I'm still a bit up in the air about it. I've accepted, obviously, I'm moving there, but it's just, I mean, it's a really commercial theatre company. You know, every season has a Greek classic, a musical, a couple of broad comedies about grumpy old folk going travelling, and a drama about divorce. It's not really my kind of place. But I guess they want someone who can give a different perspective. They actually described me as someone who makes guerrilla theatre, which is obvious nonsense. Just because I've put a couple of plays on in abandoned warehouses. I don't know. Maybe I should tell them I've changed my mind. It feels like selling out, you know? Like, the whole point for them is making money. The art is just a means to an end. Part of me wants to try a life with more routine, though. A workplace to go to every day instead of weeks of reading and planning followed by brutal bursts of urgent activity. I mean, there'll still be bursts of activity. I'll still be putting on shows. But at this level, there's more room to breathe. Like a week to move into the theatre instead of a day. A preview season instead of one dress rehearsal. But even that feels like a luxury I shouldn't want. Like, isn't art supposed to be rugged and desperate? Like pulled together against the odds? I know your employer would disagree, but shouldn't art be subversive? I mean, isn't the point of it to question the status quo? Maybe it's good to move into more society-friendly art, though. It'd be nice to work at a place where I won't be spied on. Sorry, I'm over it. I swear I am. Time marches on and bad memories left behind grow smaller and smaller on the horizon. I don't know why I'm even telling you this. Why would you care? Or maybe you'll be smug. This is the real job version of what I do, I suppose. This is me being a grown-up, and isn't that what you always wanted? Indra in a suit. Indra clocking in at 9 a.m. Indra standing by a coffee machine making small talk. How ironic that I'm turning into the person you always wanted. Now, when it's too late. Did you ever wonder why it's so much more acceptable, so much more socially reasonable for you to want me to change than the other way around? You get to wish I had a normal job. You get to wish that I'd come home before 1 a.m. sometimes. You get to wish that I had the sort of friends who never need to crash on the couch for a few days while they're on tour. But you were the responsible one and I don't get to complain about that. I don't get to complain about you getting up at 6 and going for a run. having a shower and making a nutritious breakfast and reading the paper in time to leave the house at 8. I don't get to complain about your scrupulous budget or carefully pressed shirts. And the other stuff? Well, I can't really complain about that, can I? Because I'm not supposed to know. Do you have any idea what it's like to be in love with someone with so many secrets? No, I'm sorry, this isn't why I called you. I don't need to rehash those arguments. What's the point now anyway? I called because I'm packing up my stuff and I found a few things. Something about it makes me kind of sad, actually. Like there have been these objects, these parts of you still here with me. And getting this job, moving away, that's the only reason I found them. I could have kept part of you living here with me. Like you had a secret home carved out just under my ribs and I didn't really know you were there. But then I went to pack and I found you and now I have to excise you all away. Maybe this is the right time for it anyway. It feels like everything's changing at the moment. Like I don't even know who my circle of friends will be a year from now. People keep leaving and we're all so flaky, we don't keep in touch. Some of them, I don't even know where they've gone. Liv left town a month or so ago. Didn't mention it to anyone. One night we were talking about starting up a new performance group, what with Gorgeous Watkins gone, and the next night her phone is disconnected and her flat completely empty. I'd been wondering about her though. Seemed like something was up. I think she was pregnant, but I can't really back it up. Just a feeling. Her hair was suddenly really shiny, you know? She stopped drinking. She was quieter than she's ever been. I think she was pregnant and she didn't want to give up the baby. She kept, like, casually mentioning that cult people used to talk about. It would be stupid of her, really, to try to find them, right? Because surely they aren't still around. At least not in Europe. I know you wouldn't tell me even if you knew. I know there were rumours they were up in Scandinavia somewhere, but they disappeared. Wonder what happened to them. Maybe they got better at hiding. Or maybe they were raided and it was covered up. Or maybe those creepy woods are full of monsters and they just got, you know? Or maybe they disbanded and snuck back into society without ever telling anyone who they were. I'm sure you probably know, Nan. That's if they ever even existed at all, which who really knows, you know? Either way, it's stupid of Liv to think she'd be able to find them. She should have just stayed and spoken out. There's talk of changing legislation, allowing bio parents some level of contact. She could have joined that campaign, instead of running after a clearly dangerous cult that may not even exist anymore. If that's what she did, I really can't back her up. Not just based on her hair. Anyway, I'm sorry, I got off track again. I have some of your things. A bag of knitting, some tapes, some books. And a watch. I don't remember you ever wearing a watch, right? How were you always so punctual without a watch? It's very nice though. Looks like something you would wear. It has some letters engraved on the back. GN. So, not yours? Or is it an heirloom? I don't know. If you want, I can leave it all somewhere for you. At work or with a friend, let me know. You have no idea how desperate I was not to admit to myself that this stuff is yours. I called so many people. People I haven't seen in years. People I barely know. Oh, you were in my house for 10 minutes 3 years ago. Did you leave your knitting behind? I'm not exaggerating. That is how ridiculous I am, apparently. Well, I guess I'm just really fucking angry. I know your job meant keeping secrets, but I really thought I could trust you. You probably think I should be over it by now. And I am sometimes, but right now I'm not. It's been a year. What am I holding on to? A grown-up would be able to let go. Fine. I won't bother you anymore anyway. I don't want to. I'll take my anger away with me to Norwich and you'll never have to hear my voice again.
Gwen, I don't think it's enough to implement a no-smoking policy for our field agents. I'd suggest a meeting and presentation. I'm hearing about low morale among our smokers, and the goal here is not to have cranky IID agents. The goal here is to have them not smoke on duty. The presentation should focus on practical reasons, not hand-wringing about personal health choices. Most notably, the smell of smoke draws attention to the smoker. We need our agents to be noticed for intimidation operations, of course, but I think black suits, sunglasses, and a Doberman pincher draws plenty of attention without the added effect of burning tobacco. Come by my office between 2 and 3 and we can talk more. Cheers.
Within the Wires is written by Janina Mathewson and me, Jeffrey Craner, with original music by Mary Epworth. Find more of Mary's music at maryepworth.com. This show is produced by me and directed this season by Janina. The voice of Indra is Amira Darwish. The voice of Gwen is Norma Butikofer. Support our Patreon and get exclusive episodes and video chats with me and Janina, patreon.com/withinthewires. Within the Wires is part of Night Vale Presents. Listen to other amazing shows at nightvalepresents.com. Okay, our time is done. It's you time now. Time to pick up the phone, call your cousin, who you haven't spoken to since Truman's re-election, and talk to them about the new season of Top Chef.
Hello, iPod broadcast listeners. My name is Meg, and I am one of the esteemed tri-hosts of the beloved iBroad Good Morning Night Vale. I, along with my hilarious friends, fellow Night Vale actors, passionate eaters, and soft-hitting journalists, Symphony Sanders and Hal Lublin, are now over 100 episodes into our deep dive recap show of Welcome to Night Vale. We've tackled topics like soft meat crown headcanons, Cecil's fashion, and whether Steve Scones were really all that terrible, plus behind-the-scenes stories from the Night Vale creative family. And we've heard from listeners like you about queer representation, Night Vale named pets, major theories, minor questions, and of course, best and worst practices for, alternative spa therapy services. If you know, you know. Check out Good Morning Night Vale every other Thursday, wherever you get your iBroads, iCasts, PodBroads, and podcasts. I think I like PodBroads the best. I'm a real PodBroad myself.
From PRX.